Welcome to Anchor Point, where we believe that the next 30 minutes could change your life forever. So join us to consider the greatest message ever heard, the good news of the gospel, as well as sound scriptural teaching for believers, all based on the Word of God, the anchor for our souls.
Sometimes it's good to get at the very foundation of the gospel message so that it can be made clear and plain to those who are not familiar with it. Just what exactly is it saying? And how much do we really have to understand to come into the good of God's great salvation? Does it take a lot of time? A series of courses to pass? A deep understanding of life's theological issues? Well, the short answer is no. You will be getting in today's message a bird's eye view, as it were, of the basics of the gospel message, an answer to questions that people often ask when they become concerned about spiritual things. Questions like, what has God done and why did he do it? How much did it cost God and how much does it cost me and who's included? These and other questions are taken up by evangelist Mr. Marvin Dirksen today, and we hope that it will open your understanding to what God is trying to communicate to us poor sinners.
What can equal joy divine, or what could sweeter be than to know your sins are all forgiven for time and for eternity? That's just a little poem that somebody wrote. But that's absolutely true, isn't it? I want to read four verses tonight. What I'd like to do is just give you a bird's eye view of this great truth of salvation. Sometimes we focus on just a very small part of it, but a lot of times when I get a bird's eye view of something, well, then I can see how it fits. And so I'd like to read four verses, and I trust you'll be able to get a kind of a comprehensive view as to what God has done and what God is offering. And so we're going to read in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4. Paul is writing, and he writes, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption or the position of sons," or just simply, that we might be brought into the family of God. That's a tremendous blessing. And that's exactly why God has sent his Son, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now keep going to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. Peter is writing about the time factor. You'll notice in verse number 8, he's reminding the believers, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." So sometimes God's clock seems to be going very slowly. Well, here's the reason, part of it. Verse 9, "The Lord is not slack, he's not behind schedule, concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, he's patient to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance," to a change of mind with regard to their sin and their need. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18, a very familiar verse. Peter writes, "For as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, your empty lifestyle received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." And finally, the last book of the Bible and the last chapter, and we'll read verse number 17. Revelation 22 and verse number 17. And John is writing, and he says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come." Now, I would suggest that that's the response of believers to the coming of the Lord Jesus. They're saying, "Come." But then it changes. And it says, "And let him that is athirst come." And then he says, "And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." We're living in a strange world. It's an amazing world, isn't it? It's an amazing age. We're talking about some of our parents, and my father was born in 1910, died in 2010. And so that 100-year span, he didn't quite make 100 years, but that 100-year span in my estimation, saw some of the greatest changes of any generation. My father literally went from the horse and buggy age to the space age. That is a mega change. We are living in a fast-developing and fast-changing world as well, but that generation saw the most change, I think, of any generation, at least up to that time. But it's strange that we can put a man on the moon with all of the engineering and all the skill, but we have a hard time understanding how we can get to heaven. We've got GPS, and yet we've lost our way personally. We have stealth bombers and all the armaments, smart bombs and so on, and yet this world is so insecure. We have so much, and yet there's so many people that are so empty. Strange, isn't it? And yet in the midst of this very, very amazing age in which we're living, we find that there's a growing darkness. People don't know who God is. People don't know if there is a God. And if you were to ask them how they could get to heaven, if they would believe in heaven, they would likely say, I really don't know. We had to go to Niagara Falls just for a little bit of business. So we were ushered into an office. There was a young man. He was in his late 20s. I just asked him, I said, do you do this for a living? He said, well, this is one of four jobs. I said, four jobs? You know, I said, what are you doing? So he told me he worked there during the day, and he played in a band at night, and he wrote music, and there was something else he worked at. Four jobs. I said, why are you working four jobs at your age? Well, he says, I'm trying to pay off my mortgage by the time I'm 30. I said, very good. Some of us can only dream about that. Whether he did or not, I don't know. And then he says, and what do you do? Well, I said, I'm involved in gospel work. I was trying to be as general as I could because I wasn't sure he even knew what that meant. And he said, gospel? What's that? Now, this is Niagara Falls, Canada. I said, well, the gospel concerns the message of the Bible concerning a Savior, the Lord Jesus, who came into this world to save us from our sins. He said, have you ever read the Bible? He said, no, I've never read the Bible. Never. He said, no, I don't have a Bible. I said, do you know anything about the Bible? He says, no, I don't. I honestly don't. I said, do you know of any words in the Bible? And he just paused and he says, well, I think maybe somewhere it says in the beginning. I said, very good. You got the first three words of the Bible. I said, anything else? No, he says, nothing else. And so we put aside our business, and for the next 30 minutes, literally, we talked about the Bible. And I thought to myself, there's a young man who's making his way through life, and he is an absolute spiritual darkness. Tragic, isn't it? And that's the age in which we're living. And yet, sad to say, there's individuals, and maybe they've heard the gospel, but they don't really understand what God is saying, or what God has provided, and what God is offering. So what we have read tonight, to me, is a bird's eye view, and it revolves around four simple questions. Number one, what has God done? What has God done? And to me, Galatians chapter 4 tells me that God has a plan. I almost hesitate to call it a plan because it wasn't kind of an emergency deal. God didn't have to try and get himself out of a fix, out of a crisis. No, this plan was in the heart of God even before he made this world. And we have read, when the fullness of the time was come, God did something. What did he do? Secondly, why did he do it? Why did he send his son? And so that is the purpose. That's the involvement of God with regard to this plan. Because you see, he provided salvation because we are in danger of perishing, of missing the blessing. And every person who has ever been saved has come to understand their need of salvation. Another question that these verses bring into view is, well, how much did it cost? That's always the bottom line, isn't it? You got a project you want to do, and you want to do some remodeling, but ultimately you say, well, how much will it cost? And you say, well, don't think we can do it right now. That's part of the question. How much did it cost God? And we have read about the precious blood of Christ. That's the investment of heaven, that God was willing to pay the entire price and meet the entire debt. And he paid it in full with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's one more question. Well, who's included? Who's invited? And we come to the last chapter of this wonderful, amazing book. And it just seems like God throws open the door as wide as he can. And he says, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Is there anyone here tonight that is not included in that invitation? Whoever wants it, whosoever will, you can have it. Come, take the water of life freely. I don't know of a greater invitation. I don't know of a wider scope. It makes me aware that God's scope is the world of humanity. And every single individual is the object of heaven's love and heaven's grace and heaven's concern. You see, God has done something. And we have read this amazing verse, that when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. That involved the passing of time. And so there was a moment when God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And the power of God began to be expressed, and He made everything. The continents, dry land came up. Do you remember when it came up? It came up on the third day. That's interesting. It's the day of resurrection, where the dry land came up out of the water. And for the first time, there was water and there was the land. Day of resurrection. And then the hand of God took up some clay and began to mold a man. And the Bible says, God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. A man stood up from the very hand of God. And the years passed, and the flood came, and the Exodus came. Time hadn't come yet. And the nation went to a far country because of their unbelief. But there was a moment in the history of this world when the Father turned to the Son and He said, "It's time to go. Time to go." And as we sometimes sing, down from the glory, the Savior came. Time to go. I've already told you that that was not an afterthought with God. No, you see, our Lord Jesus Christ, He was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So that is not an afterthought with God. Before God ever made this world, 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us He was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So before God made anything, this mighty plan and this mighty course was already in the very heart of God. And what amazes me, what staggers me, is that when God sent His Son, He knew the course, and He knew the cost, and He knew the consequences, and He knew the response of this world to His beloved Son. I well remember when our first boy, we're living on the east coast of Canada, and he had gotten a job in Toronto. He was, I think, 17 at the time, and he was going to spend his whole summer in Toronto making money. So when the day came for us to go to the airport, he was super excited. I want to tell you something. Dad and Mom weren't quite as excited, because we had all the usual questions that parents have. You know, is he going to be able to find his way? Is he going to be able to eat right? Is he going to save any money? Is he going to stay healthy? Is he going to be able to do the job? Hope there's no accidents. And all the questions that parents have concerning the unknown future for their children. But you know, when this father sent this son, he knew that his son would be despised and spit upon, rejected. Ultimately, there'd come a man and he would kiss the cheeks of his son by betrayal. He'd have 30 pieces of silver in his pocket. And there'd be others that would come up and slap his son. And a soldier would rake the back of the Messiah. And ultimately, his hands and feet would be nailed to a cross. God knew all of that. And yet, God so loved this world that He gave and He sent His only begotten Son. What a plan. What a tremendous plan. A plan that was so exact. The Bible says every jot and tittle of the law, every small punctuation point, has been perfectly fulfilled. A plan so great that it involved every human being in this world, not just for a select few, not just for the good people. No, this was a plan that would express the very heart of God. And when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. What a moment. But you might say, well, now, why did God do that? Why did God express His interest in this world? Because we had turned our back on Him. We had not responded to the kindness of God. We're going to do it our way. And yet 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us God is not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. And tonight, God is concerned about you. If you're not saved here tonight, God's heart is burdened about the direction you're going. There are two roads on this chart. And of course, every one of us are on one of these two roads. There's a broad road, and it's a very easy road in some ways. It goes down. The other road is different, isn't it? And every one of us here tonight are on one of those two roads. But if you're on this road, you're on the road that will lead to eternal night. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. Must have been a very moving sight to see the Lord Jesus looking over a city and actually weeping over it, tears coursing down His cheeks. You see, we are living in a city and in a world that is in danger of perishing. Now, to perish is not loss of being. To perish is loss of well-being. To miss everything that God had in store for us. To miss the greatest blessing, the forgiveness of sins. To miss heaven. To never know the joy of having everlasting life and of knowing the Lord Jesus as our Savior and as our Lord and as our friend. You see, the grave is not the end of our existence. To perish is to lose everything and to miss the greatest of all blessings. And as people bump along the road, spend Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the time just keeps going. God is concerned and God is not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. But there was a cost involved with this plan. And there was a cost involved that involved a cross. Peter says, we have not been brought out of bondage. We have not been brought out of slavery with corruptible things as silver and gold. Seems that you can buy everything with money these days. That's true. You can buy everything except happiness with money. And money will take you everywhere except heaven. God didn't use today's currency, even if it's precious metals. He said, but we've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And as we look at the cross, and we see a man lifted up on a cross, the only one that had never sinned, the only one that had pleased his God from the very start, without any deviation. No wonder that the God of heaven could open up the windows of heaven and on a number of occasions say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And yet there upon that cross, he was forsaken. Forsaken of the inhabitants of this world, but forsaken of the very God of heaven. From that cross in the darkness, we hear that awesome and awful cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Hope we understand that the Lord Jesus, being forsaken, was nothing new to him as far as planet Earth was concerned. He grew up in a home, and the Bible says even his own brethren believed not on him. And he grew up in a town, and a moment came when they actually tried to push him over the cliff to his death. And he moved in a world that didn't recognize him and ultimately cried out for his blood. So being forsaken was nothing new to him, but this was. And as he turned heavenward, for the first time the heavens didn't respond. My God, why have you forsaken me? And there was no answer. You know why he was forsaken? He was forsaken because he was bearing our sin in his own body on that tree. He willingly became accountable for all that we are and all that we have done. And the Lord laid on him the sin, the iniquity of us all. And the holiness of God turned away from the sin bearer. Because God is holy. And God will never, never tolerate sin. What a moment. And yet in that moment of moments, it was there that the mighty price was paid. Precious blood was shed. Proof of death. Proof of a sacrifice made. And that precious blood brings peace. And that precious blood breaks the chains of bondage. And that precious blood cleanses a person from all their sin. That's a wonderful thing. So I'm not afraid and I'm not wondering if all my sins have been forgiven or if there's another file in God's cabinet that ultimately I'm going to have to face. No, no. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And that blood satisfied heaven. And that blood met the justice of God. And tonight, all who trust Christ and appreciate the blood of Christ are forgiven of all their sins. Well, who's included? Is this just for a select few? No, no. This is for every individual in this world. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I was in Calgary for a series of gospel meetings, and at the end of the month, I went to the airport. And I walked in. I don't want to exaggerate, but within about 4 minutes, I had gotten my boarding pass, and I was heading for the gate. And I thought, well, this is the way to travel. I went to a conference a month later, and I went to the same airport with the same routing, with the same airline. When we walked in, I couldn't believe what I saw. There were at least 200 people ahead of us, and I'd only give myself an hour, because last time, a month before, I'd only needed required 5 minutes. And so we just took our place in the line, and we bumped along, and finally 40 minutes had passed. And just when it seemed desperate, there was an agent that came alongside of that crowd. And the woman said, "Whoever is going to Toronto, come with me." Well, that's me. I didn't have to ask, what does that mean? No, that's where I wanted to go. That's where I was going. And all of a sudden, there was this invitation, "Whoever is going to Toronto, come with me." And I did exactly that. Do you know what God is saying? Could I just use that as an illustration of what God is saying? You see, what God is saying is, whoever wants to go to heaven, Christ says, come with me. You got to receive me. You got to trust me. You got to take me at my word. And that's exactly what God is doing. God is giving a wonderful invitation to every single individual. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I trust there's somebody here tonight. A young person, maybe an older one, I don't know. But it'd be wonderful if there'd be someone that would just take God at his word and come into the greatest of all blessings, the forgiveness of their sin.
Yes, God is on our side. Long before the universe existed, he had a plan for the creation of man and his ultimate blessing, and he carried it out. After man's free will rejection of him, God showed his wonderful attributes of love and grace by providing a divine remedy, the sending of his unique Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay the price for our sin and rebellion. Christ suffered the rejection and abuse of mankind, though he was completely innocent of any wrong and undeserving of any of our hatred. Then in love, he went on to Calvary, where he was willing to be separated from God in order to reconcile us with God again. What a wonderful Savior, and what a simple message. Have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, you need to just now. God has provided no other way. It's Christ and heaven, or no Christ and hell. Which will it be for you?
If this or any of our Bible messages here at Anchor Point has made you aware of God's interest in you, or if you'd like some literature or a visit that would help you to understand these important truths, why don't you drop us a line at email@anchorpointradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're glad that you were able to join us at Anchor Point today. Anchor Point is sponsored by Christians who are meeting in various gospel halls. Each of these Christian assemblies holds gospel services as well as regular prayer and Bible studies throughout the week. No collection is ever taken, and a very warm welcome awaits you. And if you've been challenged by today's message, would like to know more about the truth of the gospel, or of gathering under the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, following New Testament principles, please feel free to check out our website at anchorpointradio.com. There you will find more information, as well as the location, programs, and meeting schedules for the Gospel Hall nearest you. My name is John Sharp, and thank you once again for listening. And we invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Anchor Point, where we believe that in times like these, you need a Savior. And in times like these, you need an anchor.